I'm going to be doing group two, so I didn't know if I was supposed to be on the call just to kind of get clarity on what's happening between the two groups or if I should just hang up now. This is Gwynnell.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, well, we will do that in the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
So you're in the right spot. Good, good. So, so thank you, everybody, for coming. And I think we've just had a few more join. Who's just recently joined us and hasn't said hello yet?
Debbie Rosman, hi, how are you?
Hey, Debbie, good. And who else? Is that it? Has everybody said hello? I've got Gwynnell, Jody, Judith, Donna, Bruce, Stephen, and Debbie. And David, that's me. Okay. Great. So last week we set it up and we reached a consensus, and then I threw a spanner in the works because I realized that over the last 8 weeks we'd had these amazing calls, and it was bothering me that all the great ideas and just the energy, really mainly the energy of what we were doing, was kind of going into the ether and would be lost. And I'm a trainer by heart. It's kind of part of my DNA. So I realized that was bothering me, and I talked to some people about it and said, how do we do this? Like, we want to manage people's confidentiality because you don't want to talk and then find out a week later someone else is hitting up the same organization or something like that. So I talked about it with a couple of friends, and we just decided that I would go ahead and spearhead the group that I wanted to create and that I want to be a part of, which is a group where our calls will be available after a certain confidentiality period for other people to listen to so that they can go ahead and create their own project. And so what I came up with was some criteria that that can give us some level of comfort, and that criteria is if you say anything that you felt was too sensitive, just email me and that'll be edited out. For 6 months following the completion of these 8 weeks, we all agree to keep the calls private and don't let anyone else listen to them so that we've got time to go forward on our projects and do our stuff and have a confidentiality window. And then after that time, if anyone wants to use the calls for training purposes, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. And the reason I set that up is because I don't really know what I'll want to do with it, but I know one day I might create a training product. I might want to share it with my list as a bonus for something and say, here, this is going to help you as you go ahead. Or I might want to help Brendan in some way and say, why don't you add this as a bonus for people who do your seminar? So I want to throw it open to any questions and the second group, which is being set up, I think, by Ellen and Zen, is going to be more along the original lines that we talked about in that it will be 100% confidential forever. I understand they're going to go at a slower pace. They're talking about meeting every second week, and they'll go for 1.5 to 2 hours. So if that's more of a fit for you, you're really welcome to contact Ellen, and I put the email in the invite that I sent around, and I just wanted everyone to be able to make a choice for whatever's going to be a fit for them. So before I throw it open to any questions, we've had 2 or 3 people just join us. Would you like to say hello?
This is Gail.
Hello, Gail. And who else has just joined us?
Justina.
Couldn't hear that. Can you say it again?
Justina.
Justina. Welcome, Justina. It's very faint, but I can hear you. Excellent. And was there one more who just joined us? All right. Well, we'll call you Wallflower.
Actually, this is Gail. I was on the call from the beginning, but for some reason you couldn't hear me, so I dialed back in.
Oh, good move.
So.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so any questions about Group 1 or Group 2, and then we'll get stuck into hearing what people are up to.
So if I'm doing Group 2, should I just say goodbye for now?
Yeah, you should say good luck, good fun, and drop off and get in touch with Ellen, and she'll be setting up whatever she's going to set up.
Okay, I already got in touch with her. I was just confused as to whether or not I was supposed to also attend this call. But best of luck to all of you, and thank you for last week. It was really great. Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Other questions, comments? Going.
Going.
Okay. All right. So if anyone would like to be in group two, you know, I think it'll be cool. As I said, it'll probably be a bit of a slower pace, and they may be talking to people about who's the right fit, and so I don't really know all about it, but just email Ellen on the email address in the last one, and now would be the time for you to drop off the call, and we'll get started officially on the first of 8 calls for the Group 1 Mastermind. And I'll just give you a few seconds to drop off the call. Okay, so let's do a roll call. I think that was, who was that who just spoke and then said she's doing Group 2?
Gail.
Is that Gail?
I'm in Group 1. This is Gail.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That was Gwen, I think, or?
Gwenil.
Gwenil.
Okay, great. And do we still have Donna?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Donna, did you email me about Group 2?
Yes, I did. I'm really on the fence about it, David. I would really like to hang around.
All right. Well, I have no problem if you want to hang around for this call and then decide after it, because I know, I just want to acknowledge to everyone that I realize it was quite a change. And I wish I'd been clearer before last week so we could have talked about it on the call. So I just acknowledge that. And if you want to take this call to talk, I'm fine. I really want this to be really informal and have us all support each other. And we need to deal with the admin at the beginning so that we're all on the same page and it works for us.
Yeah, I'm just really happy to connect with all of you guys because I think the momentum behind the energy with the people that are of like mind is a huge value to me, and hopefully I can contribute to somebody else as well.
Agreed, thank you. And I would suggest if anyone does have any concerns about confidentiality, just don't tell us the name of the vice president you're hitting up. You know, don't give us their email, don't give us their phone number. If it's some super incredible strategy that you think someone will take and use 6 months from now and that's going to hurt you, don't tell us. You know, just use it. But that's not the way I work, but I really want to respect what's good for you. And if you do blurt something out and say, you know what, I realize I said something and I wouldn't want that person to ever hear it. You know, when I said that guy was a real dickhead trying to make up a company that I wouldn't approach, but I can't actually think of one. and you say something like that, just let me know. We'll take it up. So great. Let's jump in, and I think we'd have easily time for 5 people to report at 8 minutes, and I think we may have had someone else just come in and join us. Who's just recently joined us? Is there anyone who hasn't said hello yet? Alrighty. And I'd like you guys also to have a think about moderating, because I don't really want to do this every call. I did it for about 8 calls last time, and it felt really great to have Ellen jump in and just take a turn. And it's a way to get to know people as well. So all you would do is just hold the structure and say, hi, everybody, and all right, who wants to be able to report this week, and then call on them and tell them when it's time. That's pretty much it. So who was it who said they'd be happy to moderate this call? Was it Gail?
Jody, I'm going to time for you.
Jody's going to time. Okay,
give a 2-minute warning and cut them off at eight minutes.
Yeah.
I think Gail needs to do something.
Did you want me to moderate? This is Gail. I'm happy to do it.
No, sorry, that was Stephen. I was just being smart ass. He was called on Gail a couple of times. So.
I did volunteer when no one could hear me, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I think since Jody's offered to timekeep, we'll just have Jody do it this time. And then, Gail, perhaps you can do it next week.
That's fine.
Okay, great. So, Jody, why don't you just call for volunteers and see who would like to report what's going on and get some support this week and come up with a way to choose five people, and we'll go from there.
Okay. As David said, we're looking for volunteers to either get 8 minutes of sharing or 4 minutes of sharing or 4 minutes of feedback and help. May I have the names of the people who are interested, please?
Bruce?
Mm-hmm. Bruce?
Yes.
Anybody else?
I'll put my hand up. This is David. I've had some really kick-ass stuff today and yesterday.
I think we'll let David speak. Anybody else?
This is Stephen. I could go. I would need to go in the first 30 minutes if possible.
Okay, can do. Got you, Stephen. Go ahead. Anybody else? There's two more slots open.
I think it'd be fun to hear from you, Jody.
Okay, I'll go. I'm in there. Anybody else?
You're doing some amazing things.
We have one more slot open. All right, well, let's get started, and then somebody else can always volunteer at the end. And I think, Stephen, you said you needed to go first.
I don't have to go first, but can I go second?
You can go second. We'll start with Bruce then.
Great.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, my name is Bruce Stewart. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. This is a great opportunity, and I really appreciate it. What I'm doing along with my wife is we have a project wherein we're setting up a systematic approach to helping people move who are couples, newlyweds, newly engaged or whatever. And so we're both helping them with their physical move, with clutter clearing and getting clear about how to combine two households together, as well as the emotional ride that goes along with that. And we're really in the early phases of our program, and so actually I have a couple questions that are kind of surging in my mind. Our next phase is to go ahead and contact our corporate and NPS sponsors, so we're just kind of at the cusp of that. And what's going on is we've decided to write a white paper and, you know, a special report. And we did that, and we did it according to a fellow who has a white paper on white papers in as an e-book on the Internet. And it's very clear and specific about what you do, and it's very corporate and very so you don't reveal anything about yourself or your company until the very end of the report. And I guess first question I wanted to ask, is that typical for a special report or a white paper? And the second question I wanted to ask you all is, when we gave this to our editors, three friends who are in the biz also at various levels, they all thought it sounded a bit cold, and they wanted to hear more about us earlier on. So that's my – should I pause here or should I keep on going?
I think you should get the feedback and then come back.
Oh, that'd be
in.
Great.
You have plenty of time.
Okay. So does anybody have any feedback on what I've mentioned so far?
Without knowing anything, this is Judith, I'd say you want to put some of your personality in it and a little bit about what you do earlier on, because you're trying to make contact and you're trying to make these people see that you stand out from the rest of the world. And you got to give them a little bit about who you are and what you do without revealing everything.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. I appreciate that.
What's the purpose of the white paper? Like, who are you reaching and what's the purpose?
It's designed to reach corporate decision makers and to get them enthusiastic about the idea of buying our products for their list.
So is this a sponsorship deal or no? Is this something separate?
Yes. So it's not designed for the end user, this particular white paper.
Well, are you planning a book for the end user? Because I think it sounds like a natural to make a book for the end user with this topic.
Well, thank you for saying that. We're right now planning more of a guide.
Okay.
Which would be like an ebook downloadable. And then perhaps if and when things gush, we'll do a book.
So you're...
I'm trying to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so your concept is you're going to try to get corporations to buy your service and put you on their mailing list. Is that the idea?
Right.
Okay. So when somebody's moving for Xerox, a giant corporation, they might want to hire you for their executives to help them move and merge. Is that the idea?
That's one of them. Also, another idea is to sell this to, like, North American Van Lines.
Okay.
And use that as a calling card through which they can also get new clients themselves.
Okay.
And we're thinking of even things like banks, you know, because nobody's immune from what's happened in the financial world lately. And so we're thinking that they want to have an appeal to the very people that they're trying to make as new customers.
Oh, the bank could be a sponsor? Would
right.
the bank be a sponsor then of
right.
this service? Okay.
I was going to ask, what is your call to action there in this white paper then to commit to being a sponsor then? Yes? And you're up to 2 minutes. You have 2 minutes.
Thanks. Well, I'm a little foggy on that myself, to be honest. But I would say that direction we're headed in.
So, Bruce, this is David. What my mind's trying to do is tie in what you're doing with the Brendan model.
Okay.
And the Brendan model, as I understand it, is you come up with a project. The project would involve a nonprofit, which I haven't heard about yet, and a corporate partner, and you could be sponsoring your service. I think that can be done. And then the next step is to send a half-page pitch to the corporation to hook their interest, and maybe you follow up with a call. And then if you can get the call, you can walk them through it, and that might lead to the proposal. And if you can't get the call, sometimes I'll just say, send me more. And what I do is I send a two-page thing that is really like an executive summary of the whole proposal. But I don't get to anything like a white paper or what I call a proposal until I've been through, or I try not to, until I've been through that process and talked with them on the phone, and then I'll send something. And I just follow the Brendan outline of what to include in that.
Okay. Well, I think that this has been a new field for us. My wife and I are trying to bridge from where we were to where we're going now. And we didn't have anything at all fleshed out. So writing the white paper helped us create a program model. And now that we have that, I think we have to step back and go through the process you just outlined, David, yeah.
Bruce, if I can hop in, this is Stephen.
Sure.
You might want to just write down these names. There's a company called Work Options Group. Just been taken over by another company, but they offer HR services as an outsourcing company.
Uh-huh.
They'd be a great sponsor, it sounds like. And they're now owned by a subsidiary that does daycare services, but I could talk to you and tell you more about it or blog it to you. And then what I heard and what you shared was there are lots of young people who are doing this, getting tied in, I bet, who are also in the military. I bet you could find a nonprofit that particularly supports military families that might be willing to be your, you know, nonprofit partner. And then the kind of for-profit partner could be this HR company who
ding,
supports.
Ding, ding, ding. Stephen, it's your turn.
I'll send that information to you via the blog.
Marvelous. Stephen, thanks so much.
Sure.
Yeah, you can put that on the blog, and also remember there's the Yahoo group.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. That'll be later. Okay, good. So I'll just give you a little bit about my background since I was not at this last partnership training. I'm an event planner by trade, and so I was looking for, coming out of the thing 6 weeks or 10 weeks ago, an event that I could help to plan or be involved in, where I could also offer my services. So I'm also in a service-based project. I'm tied in with Rotary International here in the Denver metro area to raise an additional $300,000 for polio. And in the last 8 weeks with support of the partnership group, you know, the calls kept me on board to continue going forward in a project that I got, you know, just kind of overwhelmed and scared by. We are on level now to basically the finish date. We've committed to having $300,000 raised by October 24th amongst about 8,000 Rotarians in the Denver metro area where I am, plus other Rotarians all over the state of Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, Nebraska, and a few surrounding states. The interesting part and the coaching, so what we're doing, so I'll just give you background, it's a model built on having people get more actively involved. Instead of in Rotary in the past, a lot of Rotarians, which is a service group, have given their time or their money, and we built a model for having people outside of the organization give of their time and their money to this cause, which is a project that Rotary's been working on for 21 years. The interesting part and the thing that I'm coming up against now is that people don't really want to give it away, they want to, like in theory they want to, but in reality they're having a really, really hard time seeing how outside partners could be of benefit. But anyway, let me go back. The project would be a postcard that's mailed out, and I'm not going to go through it all, but basically a website where people could go and learn about 10 different ways to get involved and give money to this project. And the money being raised is to match a grant that was given by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to Rotary International for a total of $400 million. So it's a really neat, fun project. The question that I have, or questions that I'd love to have your ears on, is how do you condense, like, we all on this call have a partnership background because we just, you know, we've been to this training. And inside of Rotary, what I've found is I can't make any movement forward, like going out and sending out the sponsorship information. Everything has to be approved by Rotary and everything has to be approved by committee. And even inside of building a website, they won't allow me to send out an RFP unless it's a request for proposal for building the website, unless they're a Rotarian. And I understand keeping it internal. I think that's great. But things move really, really slow. And I haven't figured out a way to say, you know, if you want to make $300,000 by October 24th, we have to move more quickly than at meeting every 3 weeks. And mostly right now they're not willing to do that. So any ideas or thoughts about how to motivate people to see the partnership model without going to the partnership weekend? Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's my question.
I have one idea, Stephen. It's a little bit radical. I wonder if you can bypass them. See, people like us who are not within Rotary have the freedom that – like, I can approach any partner I want, I can send any proposal I want, and I can still go to Rotary and say, here's how I can help you.
Right.
But you're within Rotary, it sounds like your hands are tired. What if you, and maybe it's too late, but what if you did this not as a Rotarian, but as Stephen Stokes, and then you put the whole thing together with Rotary as a beneficiary, and all Rotary's got to do is look at one proposal and say, yes, we accept that, we'll do what you're requiring. That's my idea.
Yeah, it may be too late for this thing I'm going, but I can see where I could do that in the future. You know, in the future, because I'll be involved in these kind of projects in the future. Other ideas?
I had a question. Wouldn't you have to get the approval first from Rotary to, even if you're doing it as your own, to go to them first to say, hey, I've secured this nonprofit?
Well, Rotary itself is a nonprofit, so they're on board as a nonprofit partner. But they've just kind of, being a Rotarian myself, I've kind of gotten my hands tied to not going out and looking for the corporate sponsors without their individual approval. But that it just takes a lot of time. And so I'm kind of past the first step of the Rotary being the nonprofit beneficiary of money
okay,
raised.
So they are on board with being that.
Yeah, they're on board. I mean, actually, they're really excited, and they got really excited. I was able to share a couple of calls, you know, just so excited that they were wetting their pants, but then have just gotten bogged down in the details about, I mean, we spent a whole hour and a half about, like, if the money came in, where, how would it be accounted for? And the last meeting was an hour and a half of time was spent on that, and we only meet once, you know. So it's just been an interesting process for me. I think I don't want to take time to talk about it, but I've really learned about how, you know, a top-down approach, big organization works.
You have 2 minutes.
Okay, great. So, okay, good. Well, I'm going to look and see if I can do the approach that David mentioned in changing up this piece. Any other ideas?
Yes, Stephen, what about, do they already have corporations that they've approved so you wouldn't have to go through those steps and that you would also approve of?
That's a good question. They have some, they tend to be more aid organizations and NGOs, non-governmental kinds of things, but I can look and see. That's a good, I'll look at that.
And is there anyone in your local area in a leadership role that might have some influence?
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be sitting around the table with the top guys in the state.
Okay.
I feel very lucky. It's interesting. I'm also the youngest guy at the table, and that's been interesting as well. So, anyway. All right, cheers. Somebody else should go. I'd love to hear either what Jody or David is doing. Thank you for your comments and thoughts. It's awesome.
Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah.
Well, should I go and let you have the majority of the time? We're going to be early on the call.
Well, I don't need the majority of the time, but you're welcome to go.
Okay. I was at the Brendan Burchard's March conference and came back and immediately got Big Brothers Big Sisters interested in my project because of there was a great alignment with my product. My product is 201 Things to Do When Children Say I'm Bored, and it's a checklist and it's a journal. So the alignment there was, well, do you have any corporate sponsors that would like to get involved and put me on the road for 4 months doing a book tour, and out of all the books that we sell, we can give 40% of the profit rate directly to your organization, Big Brothers Big Sisters. And they said, sure. And they handed me a family-friendly business. They have resorts all over the country. And so the alignment here is that is where we would make our book tour happen. And the problems that I've been having is, even though I have celebrities attached to this tour to create special events when we land at a place, which is a huge draw, I'm having a problem with people committing to getting me to contract so that I can actually get on the road, because it's a summer book tour. And the deadline, the last call we had, we were talking about how can Jody put out a deadline, and I just got something back from David. He puts it right in the subject line, letter of intent, in parentheses, today, please. I love it. But I did do that, and I also made a creative effort to show the corporate sponsor that I am an individual with a lot of ideas and creativity, so I took apart a game board and made it a puzzle and took a snapshot of the answer to my puzzle so that if they don't feel like figuring it out, it had to do with Scrabble tiles. And in other words, I'm full of ideas. I can give ideas out the wazoo here. Let's get going on this. But and I FedExed it up there quick and easy, but I haven't heard back from them. So I'm looking for actually the legal ramifications of whether I can take in the funds for a nonprofit and how much trust is there going to be involved with me doing that, or whether there will be a contractual outline. There will be things that they will tell me that I can and cannot do, and I don't have any experience with this, so I'm open to hearing how do you collect money for nonprofits and have them trust you and work that out contractually.
Well, Jody, what I remembered Brendan saying from the conference was that the way that he set it up was not that he actually took the money in for the nonprofit as you suggested, but rather he took the money in that was made, and then he made a donation back to the nonprofit, which in turn it has to be a great write-off for him. But in that way, you're not specifically saying I'm taking the money in for the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I think if they wanted to create it in two different ways, like the 40% back on your book, that would be you take the money in and you give them back 40%. And then if they want to make an additional donation to Big Brother, Big Sister, you give them access to do that. Perhaps you have a website, and on the website there's a link to Big Brother, Big Sister where they can make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
So that you didn't have to handle the legalities of it. I mean, that's what I thought, you know, that's how I think would be the easiest.
Well, but then doesn't the corporation not get a tax write-off because they're giving the money to her rather than to the nonprofit?
Let me just interject here because I've got another step going on here. I've given, because of the corporate sponsor getting an exclusive, we are wrapping a 42-foot motorhome with the information, collecting marketing data, blah, blah, blah. With the exclusive sponsorship opportunity that I'm giving these folks, they're getting my books, what I call, for free, and I'm adapting the book with their information on the back cover and also putting an insert in the book. So, in other words, they're paying for the books, the number of books that I'm going to be giving them, and I'm helping them.
When you say they, are you talking about – I'm sorry, Jody. When you say they, are you saying they and the nonprofit, or they, the corporate sponsor?
They, the corporate sponsor, are getting quite a few books, and we're going to agree to help them sell it, and they can put it in their gift shops, and we can do what we can sell them at our specialty events when we have our celebrities in town holding up the book. In other words, the books that I'm giving them, it's coming right out of their inventory. They don't have to get stuck with the books. We're going to have several opportunities to help them get rid of that inventory, which is a huge plus. Because after they can sell it out in a year and make money off of my project, or they can take 2 years and break even if they want to give them away. You know, so many different ways this could work out, but they're getting the books up front because it's being customized to their information. The back cover is theirs, et cetera.
Tell them how many books, Jody.
45,000 books.
Wow, that's great.
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
I think what is going to happen is I will have these celebrities at my events, and we will have a fundraiser, and people will go, I want to give to Big Brother, or I want to be a Big Brother, a Big Sister, and I'm just going to be the trust. They're going to have to trust me that I will funnel all that information, all those names, and all those donations to the organization. So I don't know what that looks like.
Jody, I have a thought on that. There are scouting organizations and millions of organizations that do fundraising all the time, and they go and collect money, and they say proceeds go to X charity, and they just collect the money, and then they either hand it to the charity or they don't. So I just realized that that's done all over the world. Now, if you're going to collect a lot of money in their name, surely they'll be able to tell you, yeah, you know, collect it, that's fine, and hand us a check. Or they'll be like, no, this is the way to do it. I mean, maybe that's something they should be telling you. Otherwise, you can say, I'm just going to collect it and write your check.
Right.
That's probably what I'm going to do. Just, you know, I'm happy to collect it all for you. Or if you want to handle all of this and set up the back end and the merchant account and all that kind of stuff, and you want to run it, fine, you do it, and then we'll divvy it up at your end.
I can hand out envelopes with their information and have it, you know, mailed in. I don't have a part in it at that point.
I think it's a chance for collaboration with them. Say, how do you want it to look? This is, you know, I can take it off your hands if you like, and I'll just handle that and send you the money. Is that good, or you got another idea?
Yeah, that's... Yep. That's all I have.
That's great.
Sounds great.
Sounds like a great project.
I would just you didn't speak to it specifically, but you said something in the beginning. When I was started my event career with a production company where we went out and did a tour each year. And the way we got people to commit to the contract on saying what dates is we finalized 4 to 6, say you're going to 20 cities, we finalized 4 to 6 along the path, say city 1, 5, 9, and whatever, and then you kind of say, I'm going to be in your area this two-week period. You either take it now or you don't take it at all, and people tend to get in action. If you give them too much time, you know, it's hard. And there were times when we weren't really solid on the contract on city, you know, say it's 1, 5, 10, 15. We weren't solid on the 5, but we told people that we were coming to that city on that particular date, and then we were able to use that as leverage for, you know, booking the other cities. You may want to try that kind of approach to say, hey, I'm going to be around this neighborhood in this two-week period or this one. You know, I don't know what your timeline is.
Yeah.
So, that works.
Unfortunately,
that works
none of this is
our...
happening without corporate money, and I'm just going to let you know that my time is up. So.
Well, we can go a little longer if you want, Jody. I mean, it doesn't sound like we've got people beating down the door, so.
No, but this one.
I'm enjoying just listening. I'm still trying to figure out 4 or 5 different projects from the many opportunities we have. And we did join Brendan's Empire group as well, and I haven't started that yet. Well, I'm trying to do all my other work at the same time. Some of you can probably relate to that, but I'm really excited by what I'm hearing. You know, even though there's challenges, I do sense the opportunities.
Cool.
Well, one of the other things is after I do a summer book tour for 4 months, the wrap comes off this motorhome and I'm available. Who has a project that they need me to be the rolling billboard for?
Believe me, I might have one by then.
I'm just going to put value and on top of value into this program for year one for Big Brothers Big Sisters, mm-hmm. but believe me, it's going out somewhere else next year and it's not going to be so cheap. So.
Well, we could talk about that, Jody.
Okay.
You know, it sounds like you might have the best job on earth, and we
mm-hmm.
think you're not.
Oh yeah, my husband wants to be the bus driver in the worst way. He's a builder on Hilton Head. Nothing's happening.
mm-hmm.
So what's
well,
next,
David,
Jody?
You are.
Okay. My project is to inspire 20 million people to live and work differently, and we're going to showcase the best job on earth and also show people how they can create their own best job on earth. And it involves working from anywhere, traveling the world, doing what you want to do, sharing a message you care about, and also doing good for charities at the same time. So we're going to run a job ad that tells you that we'll pay you to do this. We'll pay you $150,000 to do this for 6 months, to do your dream job. And the idea is to generate a massive amount of publicity and benefit our nonprofits and corporate partners, and also sell a load of my book, which is either called Get Paid for Who You Are, or we might call it The Best Job on Earth, to tie in with the project. So what's going on is I've been going at this for 2 to 3 months, and I just had an amazing day today. I talked to Jody last week about how to squeeze people when it's not happening and people aren't getting back. How do you get a response? And I sent an email to the Sierra Club saying, hey, I'm just so happy that you're shopping it around internally. That's awesome. I just want to let you know, now that Microsoft is interested, I need to have a major nonprofit on board. And if you can get me an official yes by Wednesday of next week, I can still guarantee you one of the top 3 beneficiary slots. If you can't, I still want to work with you. I love what you do, but I can't guarantee you one of the top slots. It'll have to be something smaller. And today is Wednesday of that next week, and I got an email today saying, hey, I don't know if I sent you this already, about our official inness, but we're in.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. So I have my first official partner being
yeah,
the Sierra Club. What's that? The first
Sorry, I was
official
just giving
partner.
You a congratulations. It was late. My apologies.
Thanks, man. That's cool.
Can you share what
Sierra
the terms
Club.
Are? That's great. Can you share what they get and what you're giving?
I can give it to you in general, but what I found is that there are 3 levels of being in.
three levels of yesness. The first one was when she responded to me by email and said, we love the pitch, and we're happy to get started. And I thought, oh, my God, they're on board. But that didn't mean that. That just meant that she needed a meeting, and then we needed to get a proposal, and they had to shop it around internally. The second level of yes is she just sent me an email saying, just by the way, we're officially a yes. So that's great. At least I've got an email saying that. But now what does that mean? Well, nothing, except that they have an intention that this is going to go ahead. Now, I'm trying to get a letter of intent, but the third level of yes is when we have a contract.
Mm.
Now, what will they do? I'll tell you what was in the proposal is that they will promote it to their media contacts, the project. They'll promote it to their 1.3 million members and supporters using their newsletter, their magazine, their radio show, and their website. They'll also promote the book, or at least mention it. And they'll provide an endorsement or a book review from one of their senior executives. That's mainly what I want from them. Oh, plus introduce me to other partners and potential sponsors. And then what I'll do for them is I'll raise money for them during the project. So it's a big fundraiser. I'll raise awareness. I'll hit up my media contacts, and I'll secure more partners to raise awareness for the project and for this AirCop and what they're doing, recruit members, all the classic stuff that nonprofits want. So I'm trying to get a letter of intent so that I can send that to my to a publisher, because we're shopping the book right now. So it's a bit time sensitive, and they got legal issues. Like she said, I think the lawyers might have a problem with that, and it's going to take weeks before we can give you something like that, because that's really part of the contract. And I agree. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, we really do have to sit down and nut out exactly what we're agreeing and then get the legal team to agree before they can commit. But I said, let's see if there's some wording that you'd be happy with and I'm happy with. Even if it just says this is subject to change and this is our understanding, our intention at this time, or something like that, that your lawyers are happy with. But I can still show people to say, hey, Sierra Club logo, this is serious. They said yes. Although I must say, based on an email from her after the first conversation that said we're happy to get started, I have been telling people that I'm partnering with the Sierra Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to think about that. Like, is that okay? And I decided yes. Based on that email, I'm happy to. And if someone says, well, how deep are you? How far have you gone? I'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, people haven't said that. They're just like, oh, well, tell me more about it.
And David,
this is
Jody. I was just going to either compliment you or ask you to say how you gave them the word, the language, and made it easy for them to adjust it or use it as you gave it to them.
Yes, thank you.
It's important.
I decided to write the letter of intent for them. And I called up my contact today and said, would that help if I drafted something? She said, oh, yes. And I said, if you got 30 seconds, can I walk through it with you and see if it sounds right? And she said, yeah. And that's when she said, oh, I think the legal team might have trouble. So we just talked about it. And I sent her a draft and said, if you could get me a fax signed on letterhead today, that would be awesome. So I put the chances at 30% or less, but I've asked for it. And meanwhile, I can go with the email. I'm even going to cut and paste some of the emails so that it makes more sense. And it's me saying, hey, I need to know if you're in by a certain date, and then
mm-hmm.
put her email saying, yes, we're in. So I could actually show that to someone else. And I know she's happy for me to do that.
You know, you're reminding me of something that Brendan talked about. By giving them those action dates that they have to respond with something, you know, like yes, no. The first person who talked, whose name I don't remember, you know, the Rotary Club thing, you know, it seems like if you don't get a clear signal to try to put something there, and then if, you know, that will give one, and then like Brendan said, if they don't respond, just move on to the next one. That's why he said you've got to have a number of research targets, so that you don't just hang on to one that's just going to flop around.
I completely agree. And that's what I realized with the Sierra Club. And I said to them, I have to go and approach other nonprofits now
mm-hmm.
because I still haven't heard back, and we need this to get Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to approach some others now, and I just so hope it's you, because I got what my heart said, I'm working with you. Like, I've been nudging them for 4 to 6 weeks
mm-hmm.
to get this. So I would say there's two lessons I've gotten. One is you have to hit up a number of people at once so that you're not hanging on to one and just waiting,
mm-hmm.
and then you can play them off against each other. And the other thing is keep hitting them up. You don't have to hang on to them, but hit them up every 3 days. Or just a quick email. I've got a list in my phone of people to call. Or when I'm out and about in the car, I'll just call them up and leave voicemails with something exciting that's happening in the project.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to tell you what else has happened. That's with Rotary. That's with the Sierra Club. I've been hitting up Rotary, and they had silence for like 3 weeks. I was getting nothing back. And I just kept on politely hitting them up, and then I put in a time frame and said, look, this isn't for you. Let's just close the cycle. I mean, AARP is interested with 40 million members, and I think that could be amazing to help eradicate polio. But if it's not for you, just say the word and we'll move on, and we'll award the beneficiary slot to someone else. And I did actually get an email back saying, my boss has asked for a full proposal with numbers that he can review. Can you mail it? So I'm calling that a really big win, that they haven't told me to bugger off yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still in, so we're going to actually mail them a proposal. And I pushed, I tell you, I wish you could have seen me, really nudged him persistently and politely to get on the phone first, because I wanted to co-create it with him and find out what would fly and what wouldn't. And he just said, sorry, I can't talk on the phone again. This is what my boss wants. So that's fine. I'll run with that. I had a call with Microsoft yesterday morning at 8 a.m., which is a big deal for me. And it was extraordinary. It's a friend of mine, and it's just a really dear friend that I went to college with back in Australia, and she works in HR, and she went through it with me for half an hour, and we came up with 7 different departments inside Microsoft that would benefit from this, and she's going to hit up each of them.
Wow.
With my half-page pitch on my behalf.
That's very cool.
That is, yeah, thank you. It's amazing. So that was very exciting. And here's the other thing. I realized, and I said to her, look, I wouldn't say this to anyone else, but if you gave me a dollar, I would give you massive exposure. And I realized I should be playing hardball, but I'm talking to you. You're my friend. I would give you if you gave me a dollar, because then I could say that Microsoft is sponsoring this and it would open other doors. So I just want you to know, if no other department will do it, and I didn't ask you for money, would you fund it with your department? And she said she'd love to. She wants it.
Wow.
Yeah, because her, and I could work it out, this was funny, I couldn't work out, why does she want it? Because she's in HR and they're recruiting talent and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up the morning of the call and went, oh, best job on earth.
Yeah.
Hello. So I had to apologize mm-hmm. to her for being obtuse.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she'll take it to her director, but she said, I think Microsoft should pay to play. And I agree. So I said, let's do that. I said, let's, you know, and that's great. And she's right, because Microsoft's going to get massive exposure. So we said, let's do that first. And if it doesn't work, we'll fall back on some very low contribution that Microsoft can make, and we'll put their name on it. So I felt very excited by that. And I had another breakthrough that she emailed 2 managers for me, 2 senior managers in 2 departments, and I got a no from both of them. Very polite, and one of them spoke to me for a while, but they tried a couple of departments, and they said no. And I've hit them both up again. And I said, look, I understand you don't have funding for this, but if I can get another department to fund it, would you like some of the exposure? And would you support the project? And then I called them both with that message, and one woman stepped out of a meeting to take the call and said, look, can you send me more information about how it ties into my division and how we benefit? I'm like, yes, I can. So I'm just having such surprise. And by the way, I'm going to lose signal in maybe 30 seconds, and then I can call back in a minute later. Are you still there?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, so to my surprise, people that I expected to be unfriendly, some of them are being really nice to me.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they're people. And people who said no, I'm hitting them up again, and some of them are coming back with, oh, well, tell me more. So I'll drop off now, and I'll call back after this dead patch.
Okay.
Okay. Just to let everybody